Are you ready? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're actually going to read the last several verses of chapter 4. Start on Acts chapter 4, verses 32, talking about believers sharing. Would you say sharing with me, please?
Sharing.
Some of us don't like to share. Your children teach us how to share. I don't want to share. It's my stuff. Well, I tell you what, when you come to know who the creator of the universe is, when he owns a planet and you are hooked up on him, you can share what you got because he's got better. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Bible says, Acts chapter 4, verses 32, reading through the first two verses of chapter 5. All the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. And from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. That sounds pretty cool. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Well, I'll come back to that in a moment. He sold a field he owned, and he brought the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord, wanting truth, wanting victory, Lord, wanting a pathway to victory. Lord, as we see, Lord, the grace that was poured out upon the new church, the truth that the apostles lived their lives in, Lord, and the lies that Ananias and Sapphira were bringing in to the body of Christ. Lord, let us come to an understanding of truth this morning. Lord, let us come to an understanding of the purpose that you have for us, that you might be glorified in our lives. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. We talked last week about Peter and John, amen, and the healing of the man at the gate, beautiful, right? And the guy was begging and he was crippled from birth. And he looks up at Peter and John, and Peter says to him, he's looking for money, he says, silver, gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Now, do you think that was better than silver or gold? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on now, you got to be with me. Yes, he was saying, I have life change. I got more than a carne asada burrito for you today. I got more than the jumbo sirloin. But Joe was loving these sirloin burgers at Burger King. I'm going, $5. Are you kidding me, kid? It's worth it, he says, Dad. I'll tell you. He says, silver and gold have I none, but I got what you really need. And this guy's life is transformed. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we are reading about these glorious things that are happening in the church, and we are reading about this guy Barnabas, right? Not even Barnabas, Joseph of Cyprus comes in, you know, and he is obviously sold out, sells some property, gives it, puts it at the disciples' feet. A lot of people are doing that, and they give him a new name. They give him a name, and they call him Son of Encouragement. How many of you guys want that name? I mean, it's like, Aaron, hey, we're not going to call you Aaron anymore. We're going to call you Son of Encouragement. We're going to call you Father of Encouragement. Say, wow. I take that, right? And so what we see is transformation in people's lives. And we celebrate that. We love it when the underdog comes and rises up. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it's a story that we love. Pastor Scott started a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, talking about movies. Amen? And talking about, forgot what movie he started. Oh, yeah, Stepford Wives back in 74? 72, there he goes. I am going back to 1976. Story of an underdog. And as he came up, He came from nothing. And the music comes, you know, and it's like, yeah, you get that music, you just get fired up, and you want to start it. And he comes, it's Rocky Balboa, you know, and he comes from Philadelphia, and he's just a no-name guy, and he just finds the victory. And we go, we say, we want that victory, you know. And you get that name, Son of Encouragement, said, I want that. And in our midst, we have people that are becoming champions. Amen?
Amen?
We have people that are becoming sons of encouragement. And even recently, even just last week, we had a new champion. Arise up and find victory on the bocce ball court. Destroying every runner. I mean, got 3 points in the first two throws. Yes. Everybody was looking at the new champion, saying, I want to be like him. My wife's going, okay, what are you doing? All right, we're having a little fun with this. Pastor Scott said, hey, where's my accolades? I want to make sure he got some accolades today. That's pretty good accolades, amen? Yeah. Amen? All right, here we go. But we have some fun with that. But you know what? What was going on with Barnabas was a real deal. And what was going on in the church was a real deal. And God was doing miraculous stuff. And God has taken a look and said, look, I have a way for you to go, right? Jesus looked out on Jerusalem. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, said, man, it is so hard. You know, I just feel so down because the people around us and the people around me do not want to follow God. I see how they're going their own way. And I said, man, you feel like Jesus, because Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He said, how I have longed to gather you as a chick, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you wouldn't have me. The prophets come and you kill them. The messenger comes and they did not want truth. And so we come to this story today and we see all these guys sold out for the Lord. And many of you are sold out for the Lord and you're going, oh man, this is tough. Hey, guess what? It is tough. Amen? Some of you, maybe you're thinking, it's so tough, I want to quit. Don't quit. Because why? Because it's truth. God's way is the only way. Ananias and Sapphira started lying to the house of God. And why would they lie? They were lying to get the outcome they wanted. You only get one outcome because there's only one truth. And when you get on the pathway of truth, there's no deviation. You're on the path of truth, and you stay on the path of truth. And if you want to find victory, you got to stay on the path of truth. Amen. Amen? We're going to talk about that today. Are we okay?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Are you okay, Pastor Scott? I told him to move over there. There's some pictures he might want to see. He wasn't moving now. All right. Acts chapter 1. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money. That was okay. He said, with her full knowledge, he brought the rest and he put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan, would you say Satan with me, please? Satan. How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Now, I got to think this was not the expectation or the response that Ananias had when he walked in. Amen?
Amen.
He was right thinking, I'm going to get a new name too. You know, Sapphira's, we're going to be the couple of encouragement. There we go. Yeah. How good is this? He says, how could you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? He said, didn't it belong to you before you sold it? He said, and after it was sold, couldn't you do anything you wanted to do with the money? And he says, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. And I want to let you know that this is a generous act gone bad. They did a great thing. You know, they sold some property. They brought some money. The church would have celebrated. You sell property, bring some money in here. We will celebrate. But it's the lie that messes it all up. It's the deception that messes it all up. And Peter is catching him. He said, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Did you really think you could lie to the Holy Spirit? What were they obligated to do? What are you obligated to do? You get a big giant tax refund. What's your response to the Lord? You're supposed to give 10% of the increase. You buy a house for $50,000, sell for $100,000, there's $50,000 gain. God says, give me a tithe on your increase. Give them a tithe on the $50,000. All they had to do was give them 10%. And they were meeting the requirements Malachi puts out throughout the New Testament. They went above and beyond. Guess what? When you go above and beyond, God is so happy. But you don't have to lie about it. We have to get on the pathway of truth. Because truth will line you up on the Lord, and truth will line you up on victory. And you're never going to find victory through deception. The church is never going to find victory in deception. And he says, what do you think you're doing? I mean, how can you lie to the Holy Spirit? Do you think God is so dumb? Do you think God is so far away? Do you think we're so dumb? I got to think that Ananias had some other stuff going on, and they're probably looking at Ananias. You know what I'm talking about? Because truth will find you out, amen? Your sin will find you out. If you're right on, people know you're right on. If you got some issues, people are going to know you got issues, no matter what kind of front you put on. Help me now.
Amen.
You're playing a game. People are going to see it. People are going to put a little distance from you. Peter knows what's going on. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows if you're lying. You can't get over on God. Amen?
Amen.
So why would you do it? Peter says, has Satan so filled your heart? See, the devil will come along and say, oh, you can get away with this. God won't know. God's so far away. He's not paying attention to you. It just says little thing. Come on now, sell that property. Just keep back half. Keep back whatever, some money. And just lie. Those apostles, they're so busy. They got so much money, they ain't never going to know. You know what? God doesn't need your money as much as he needs your truth. Amen?
Amen.
All you got to do is line up on his truth, and you're going to be finding that victory. Now, let us read on, because it does not go well for Ananias. Let's see what's going on. When Ananias heard this, all right, check it out. That's verse 5. We're on verse 4. You have not lied to men, but you thought you were lying to us, but you're lying to God. Very next verse, okay, I'll tie you up here. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And you're thinking, well, maybe he just was sick. You know, maybe, you know, if he hadn't been talking to the apostles, he was going to die outside. Just a coincidence. Great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And Ananias is paying a price. That's a big price, amen? I mean, it's getting kind of quiet here. It's like, wait. We're going to talk about Ananias dying? And you're saying, you know what, that sounds pretty harsh. Did God really kill him? I don't know. It doesn't say God really killed him. That seems harsh to me. Maybe God made a mistake. Maybe God was up there in heaven going, whoa, whoops. Didn't really mean to kill him. Wow. Why don't we bring him back to life? Peter, come on, raise him from the dead. You know what? God hadn't made one mistake yet. Thank you for that, Gail. Yeah. God hasn't made one mistake yet.
Amen.
So if God had not made one mistake yet, he has not made a mistake with Ananias. Can I get a witness on that? And if you're in doubt, 3 hours later, Sapphira comes in and she drops dead. There seems to be a pattern going on here. God seems to be getting something done. And thinking, well, what is God doing? This seems so harsh. They're never going to find success living a lie. And the church is never going to find success building on deception. See, they brought Barnabas in. Barnabas came in and put the apostle Paul under his wing. Guided him, taught him, trained him up. Started off as Barnabas and Paul, and very soon after it became Paul and Barnabas. Amen? Barnabas was key. The son of encouragement was key in the development of the apostle Paul's life and ministry. And here comes Ananias trying to get a similar position in the church as Barnabas, and God says, I ain't having that. Because it's just not going to work. Say, why is God being so harsh? Because eventually that truth is going to be revealed. Eventually that lie is going to be exposed. And everybody's going to know. And the church can't be built on a lie. The church can't have the leaders lie. Because everybody will come in and go, it's just a lie. You're going to find victory. You're going to find it in truth. Amen? Joe came back yesterday from football camp. And he was telling us all the stories about football camp. I got to think you got different stories, Pastor Scott, from Joshua. Because he's playing quarterback. We went out there and watched him, man. He's out there just throwing the ball, no helmet on, looking all nice and pretty. Joe's got his helmet on. They're in the trenches on the back. And he says, man, Dad, I hit this guy Devin. What's Devin's last name? What? Brian. Devin Ryan? Bryant. And he said, Dad, this kid only weighs like 175, but I'm telling you, man, it was like running into a rock. Bam! And you know what? Joe experienced truth. And every kid out there that put a hit on Devin experienced that. I'll tell you, after 4 days of double days, every kid out there on that field knows who can hit and who's playing a game. Amen? Some of you are in here and you are putting up your best effort. And it shows. And everybody around you knows. And some of you are playing a game. And everybody knows that too. Truth will get you to victory. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Point number two, are we good? Youth, are we good? Are we tracking? Girls, are we okay? Amen. Pastor Scott, are you good? He's still rolling on the pictures. Okay, we're good. God works miracles on purpose. I got a couple sets of verses here. I don't normally do that, but I want to pull that chunk out for the next point. With truth and that victory comes these miracles that God is working through the apostles and through the disciples. Incredible miracles. Let's read about them. The apostles performed many. This is after the death of Ananias and Sapphira. So they're doing miracles. They got people selling their stuff. They got Barnabas selling his stuff. The money's coming in. They're distributing everything. Everybody's sharing everything. Ananias and Sapphira come in with a lie. God deals with that lie. And now we've got power. Amen?
Amen.
All right. He said, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. That was right in the temple. I mean, you got the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're all right there, and these guys are having church right in one of the patios that's right there inside the temple, and they are preaching about Jesus. Amen? All right, skip down to verse 15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets. Why? Because they got all these miracles. Brought them into the streets, they'd be walking to the temple, and the streets would be lined with sick people coming from the towns around, coming from the countries around. There is a healer. There are healers that are available in Jerusalem. Amen? So they brought them, and they said they laid them on beds and mats so at least Peter's shadow, his shadow. I got a shadow up here. It's right back here. Can you imagine walking along and having your shadow have healing power? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the woman wanted to come up and touch the hem of Jesus' garment saying, just his hem will heal me. Our God is a healing God. And what he is looking for, people that are dealing and living in truth. And he says, I don't know, I don't care what you need. I got the answer to what you need. But you often need more than you think you do. And getting touched by the shadow of Peter is just the first step. Amen? And I'll tell you what, many of us are on our first step, second step, third step. We got more steps to come. Amen. We line up on the Lord, and He'll show us the rest of the way. You're going to find victory. You're going to find it in truth. Amen? All right. It says, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all, would you say all, please? And all of them were healed. Man, these people were showing up in expectation because God was revealing Himself. And you know, when you come to the God of the universe, and He is a healing God, you say, God, I am sick. Leper said to Jesus, you can make me clean if you're willing. He says, oh, I'm willing. What do you need from the Lord today? Do you show up with an expectation of God moving in a mighty way in your life? Or are you just trying to rip Him off? Just trying to get over on God, just put a little lie down. See, I come in. See, what was happening with Ananias and Sapphira, you got this great God mighty thing going on. You're going to get God in your life. You're going to have to let go of the natural and grab onto the supernatural. Amen? See, we gotta fight some battles. We gotta do some things. There's some uphill that is coming in our lives. Truth is difficult. Amen? People coming in expecting God to do some stuff for them. Why? In the book, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. We came in last night, 5 o'clock. We were praying. Guess what? The Lord was right here with us. Two or three are gathered. I'm right there in the midst of you. It says, my eyes are upon the righteous. My ears are attentive to their prayer. People showing up saying, God, You're a healer. I need healing. And they expected to be healed. Do we have expectation for healing? Do we have an expectation for the miraculous power of God being displayed in our lives? Because it's not just the good that God displays His power in. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. See, God displayed His power in the life of Ananias and Sapphira. His hand was against them. His face was against them. Don't mess with Jesus. Amen? Don't mess with our Lord. And because of that discipline of God, because of the power of God being revealed to the good and the bad, there were some who stay away. Said, no one else dared join them as they're preaching there in the temple. It's like, whoa, stay away from those guys. God is working among them. Why would you not come running? Why would you not just want to experience the power of God? It said, even though they were highly regarded by the people, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed the Lord and were added to their number. Because there was some who said, whoa, I'm not messing with that. That's real deal stuff. And there's other people who said, that's real deal stuff. I want it all. Which one are you this morning? Which one are you this morning? Because there are some of you who see that God is indeed real. And you see a pathway of truth, and you say, God, I have been so confused my whole life, Lord. I am lining up on truth, and I'm going to step towards You day after day after day. Amen? Amen? There was many that were being added to their number each day, but there were many that stayed away. Why? Because they were playing a game. There was other guys preaching, had different messages. They were staying away. Why? You ain't going to mess with Jesus, especially when He is dropping people dead. Don't mess with Jesus. He's not playing around. He's not playing a game. Apostles were out there sharing that good news. Make sure I'm at the right spot. They're told by the angel, go stand in the temple courts. Tell the people the full message of this new life. They were preaching the good news. Good news, Jesus Christ died for you to set you free from the captivity of sin in your life. And there were those who didn't want it because they'd rather live a lie than live the truth. People realizing that it's a dangerous game. A lot of people just rather avoid the truth and just kind of live a lie. So you can shift the lie. You shift the lie. Ananias and Sapphira told a lie to get an outcome that they were looking for. You got some outcomes you're working on. You can lie and lie and lie and keep pointing at it. You jump on the pathway of truth, you're only going to get one outcome, and you're not in control of that outcome. Amen? Kind of like Rocky when he got on that bike. He was not in control of where he was going and how he was going to get there. Amen? It was his wife. He goes, my wife made me do this. And sometimes you're feeling like the Lord, you made me do this. He says, hey, it's truth, man. This is what I got for you. You're only going to get to one spot. This is the only way you're going to get there. Now, you want to play your own game, you can go anywhere you want. And that's why a lot of people stayed away, because they want to go where they want. And they want to do what they want to do, and they want to try and work a game so that they can go where they want to go. And that's not the way that truth works. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're not feeling real comfortable. Because when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are covered with sin. Amen? Jesus says that you are justified. You are declared righteous. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But I still got a bunch of crud in my brain. Paul says we got to renew our mind. And so we come in here and we got some drama going on. I got a brand new spirit, brand new soul that Jesus gives us. He says in Ezekiel, I'm going to give him a new heart and a new soul. New spirit I'm going to put in him. But that old mind is right in there. And so we got attention. The thing is are you going to come running to God? And say, okay, God, fix me. Because I think those people that were getting healed, they were opening their hearts. Change my heart, oh God. We sing that song, right? See, some of us come in here and we say, change my heart, oh God, but just don't change my life. Right? We want to live a lie. Now, God will deal with you step by step by step, but there needs to be progress. If there's no progress, sometimes you'd be moving backwards. You'd be just like Ananias and Sapphira. Been talking over the last couple of weeks about these projects we're doing at my house on these cars. And Leanne is the Bondo girl. And this is a Carmen Ghia that we're working on. And it was all crunched up in here, and this door was all messed up, and you see all the Bondo all over it. And she takes some of this Bondo, it's kind of like putty, you know, and just kind of spreads it on, fill up the hole, and there'll be like a dent still in it. She sand it down, put another one, sand it, put some more on, sand it, and step by step by step. She goes, what should I work on, Dad? I said, work on the worst spots first. Work on that front part right there by the headlight. That was the worst. The second worst was that door. Now they're not the worst anymore. See, and God would have you work on parts of your life. What does he want you to work on? Worst part first. Some of us say, no, I don't want to work on it. That's why they stayed away from the apostles, because the power of God was real. You don't want to play a game. You want to be real. You want to be genuine. You want to find truth. Say, God, what do I need to work on? Open your heart. He'll let you know. You walk on him. We'll talk in a minute. Amen? All right, last point. Let's move on. Someone's going to get in your way. Have you found that to be true?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They throw rocks in your way. Sometimes you're messing their action up. Sometimes they just don't want to be alone anymore. There's all kinds of people going to get in your way. All right, it says, when the high priest getting in their way. They're preaching right in the temple, and the high priest is getting what? Paid. All the money coming into the temple. Like, man, you are messing up my stuff. 5,000 people are saved now. You got this lame guy jumping around, dancing around. People going, whoa, that's real power. And that power is a threat to the high priest and his cash. Can you see that? Can you see that? Everybody had to bring their money in. The high priest getting the money. And all of a sudden, he's got a threat. It says, then the high priest and all of his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Uh-oh. And they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Can I get a witness on that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Broken out of jail by Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, go out, stand in those temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of new life. And they're thinking, maybe, man, we just got arrested. Can we take a day off? They didn't think that. I tell you what, man, you get thrown in jail and an angel busts you out and says, go back out there and start preaching. What are you going to do? I'm going out there and I am preaching. Can I get a witness on that? And we think, oh, man, how cool it is to serve God. Man, we read, I mean, last week it was Peter and John got thrown in jail. And they got cut loose by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now they got an angel. Paul reading, I think, Acts 16. Him and Silas were there in the middle of the night. Angel of the Lord comes, shakes the whole place. Earthquake comes, doors get locked open. Man, it is cool to be serving God. Amen?
Amen.
But, serving the Lord, not a bed of roses, folks. Where'd they go? They were in jail. See, you walk out of this place today and you get arrested for serving God, maybe it might just go through your thought, Lord, why didn't you spare me from jail? See, he didn't spare them from jail. He broke them out. But they went in. How many, and I've been booked a couple times in my life. Some of you guys have been booked. I'm not going to ask you who. It's not a pleasant. What? You put your hand up? He's read books. He never been booked, I'll tell you that. He don't know what I'm talking about. See, when you are following the pathway of truth, when you are entering into the kingdom of God, it's a battle. It is a war against the kingdom of darkness. And if you are going to win the war, you are going to have to fight the battles. And so many of us don't want to be inconvenienced with a battle. Oh, Lord, we pray our prayers. Lord, spare me from battle. And the Lord's saying, how are you going to win if you don't fight? Well, I don't really want to fight. I'm not really a fighter. It's like, well, that's why I got all these challenges around you, so you learn how to at least stand. Someone's got a little touch. Whoa! And God's going, you got no strength. Come on. See, you're going against a guy named Devin, right? And he cracks you. And you're either going to quit or you're going to get stronger. Amen? God wants you to get stronger. All the challenges you're going through right now get you stronger so you can do what? Fight a battle. And when you fight the battle, guess what? There's going to be casualties. And you think, oh, no. No casualties. Not only don't I want to be inconvenienced, I really don't want to fight, but I really don't want to die. And you're all thinking, oh, yeah, I'm not on the I want to die list. But you know what? I thought about this. God doesn't care so much if you die. Girls, God does not care so much if you die. You say, wait a minute. Because when you die, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you get an immediate upgrade. It's like, oh, no, oh, no, I'm going to die. Whoa, this is pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. I could have died a couple of years ago, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Let me go back and tell these people, man, this is good. It's kind of like the difference between sitting over there on the edge being all hot and sitting underneath there. Cool, yeah. Oh, this is nice. See, God's so worried about your challenge. He says, I'll get you through. In fact, I got you pointed at a difficult time. I'll get you through. That's truth. And so many of us just want to kick back and have a little iced tea and go a different route. That's not the way God goes, folks. He's not so worried about casualties. See, you get a feel for that. God says, you need to let go of the natural and start grabbing on the supernatural. You need to let go of what you got surrounding you and get your eyes on the eternal. And those gravestones won't mean nothing to you. And what was happening was Ananias and Sapphira were bringing the natural right into the church. And God said, oh, no, we're not having that. And maybe you're sitting here wondering, because that was 2,000 years ago. Well, that's not happening anymore. Why not? Well, I wondered that. And I got a verse for you. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. People start living a lie. They would rather have a lie than truth. Romans chapter 1 says that men exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and he turned them over to their sin. There's a time coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. Church has no truth. Church has no power. You can say, Lord, I want power. You can say, Lord, I want healing. You can say, Lord, I want truth, and I'll follow truth to victory. See, Roki didn't give up the other day. It would have been so easy. Probably could have been a little bit more happy. But see, there's so many, they just give up. God says it's not about easy. It's uphill. Last thing. Obedience has a price. If you are going to take the pathway of truth, there's a price. You will pay a price. It says, his speech persuaded them. This is, you can read those verses. There's a chunk of text in there. He said, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. That is whipped. Okay? And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Because they have encountered worthy of suffering, disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts, they went right back out there again. They had been whipped. They had been cut free, set free by the angel. Say, go out there and preach. They got arrested again. They got whipped. They got told by the guys that whipped them, don't you be preaching anymore. And they went right back out there preaching. Obedience has a price, folks. Truth has a price. Amen? Says, day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. It's not a bed of roses. Cat of nine tails is what they would have used to whip them. And they had, this is a modern one, but the other ones I had seen didn't have some of the components I want to show you. But sometimes that handle would be up to 3 feet long. They could really just whip that thing and just get some speed on that. And then the cat of nine tails, maybe about this long. And on that, it looks like barbed wire, okay, which is a modern thing. But back in the day of the apostles, they would have tied or attached pieces of bone, rock, metal, pottery. And they would take that and they would just wind up with all that they had and put some torque on that handle and just whip it around. And it would come. And if you look at the passion, you'll see where the pieces would dig into Jesus' back, not into his skin, into the meat. And then they would just rip it right across his back. And oftentimes you would have internal organs exposed after you were flogged. 39 times, they said 40 times would kill you. I got to imagine 39 or 40, you were not feeling real good. There's a price to play. They rejoiced. Backs laid open, bloody, probably at least a month or more of recuperation, and they rejoiced. Why? Because they had an eternal view. Because they knew Jesus, and because they had the Holy Spirit in them, and because they were fighting the kingdom of darkness, and they had a key to get out. We got that outreach coming up on the 9th. There's some people that need to know. You need to tell them. Well, I don't really feel convenient telling people about the Lord. Yeah. These guys were whipped. They celebrated. Why? Jesus' words. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. Be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This was their truth. This was their challenge. And this was their pathway to victory. Lisa, you want to come up and play for a minute? Some of you come in here this morning playing a game. And you're not feeling real good right now. Some of you have come in and you are hearing from God right now. And you're saying, even as we sit here, saying, God, I want your truth so much in my life. In fact, I have experienced some of your pathway. I have experienced some of your victory. And Lord, I want more. Lord, I want you to touch my heart, touch my soul. I want to have victory. I want to be a son of encouragement, Lord. I want people around me to see me and to be to want to be encouraged, Lord, by my witness for you. I want to be a leader in this church. I want to be a leader in my home. I want to be a leader in this community. And Lord, I'm going to follow your path of truth to get there, to my victory. And right now, you just say, if that's you, you can just in a prayer, you can just kind of just, Lord, show me. You say, show me, Lord. Lord, I so want to be in my life, Lord. I so want to go down that pathway, Lord. I so want to be used by you in a mighty way. Show me, Lord. Show me the areas of my life that I need to lay at this altar, Lord, that I need to be transformed and healed from, Lord. The barriers in my life. Some of you have incredible barriers. And you know. And God's saying, this is what we've been talking about for a while. There's people around you talking about those very barriers. And the Lord is bringing it up to your soul right now. You can say, he says, I'll heal you. But we got to be real. You got to open your soul to me. Some of you don't know. And he's bringing a brand new thing in your heart. You go, oh, Lord, really? That's it? Oh, Lord, there you go, Lord. Free access to my life. I want you to come up in a minute. We're going to pray. Maybe you're here. You're playing a game. If you're playing a game this morning, I have to think you're not real comfortable right now. Because the Holy Spirit right now is speaking into your heart and into your soul. You're lying to me. You're lying to the people around you. And he says, you know what? They all know. You're not that good. They knew about Ananias way before he showed up on that day. I don't want to deal with that anymore. I don't want people getting off track from that. And maybe this morning...